We might finish Psalm 145. There's a good chance we'll do that tonight, but we'll see. I'm going to go back to verse 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. It's been my public and private position that we have more enemies, I think, that we really understand. I think oftentimes we view people from all different perspectives, and the problem is our perspectives of how we view people oftentimes are quite wrong. We don't really see people for who they are based upon their actions towards us, and based upon the fact that we are believers. And it's always been in my experience of dealing with people, the issue of families are always seem to ignored or given a free pass. But the Lord is clear in many verses, many passages, especially in the New Testament, that a man's staunchest enemies will be they within his own household. And I don't know how people go past that, but unfortunately they do. So we have enemies. We have enemies of the world. The unbeliever is the enemy of God, therefore they are our enemy. They may not always declare themselves to be, but they are. And that's why you should never put any trust in an unsafe person, because you never know when that moment comes where they will listen to their father, the devil, and turn on you. But my biggest problem has always been the church, but that's another story. The enemies of the saints many times have had their plans against the righteous thwarted by God, and in turn, God had turned their plans upon the enemy, doing to them what they had intended to do to the saint. We also concluded last time by saying the word preserveth refers to having a hedge surrounding someone, which obviously refers to complete protection from all sides. We began to look at the truth in closing, the truth in the scripture, and that is the contrast of God protecting his own while at the same time afflicting and destroying the wicked. Thankfully, God protects his own people. We may not experience that as often as we ought, because it is essential to our faith that we are persecuted. Very much so. No doubt the Bible teaches that. I don't know why we don't, except we don't like the idea of persecution, which of course must mean we don't like the idea of God's plan, which of course means we're in deep stink, because he's going to do his plan regardless. And if we're not in the mind to accept his plan, then any other plan really doesn't matter. We began to see the contrast in Psalm 31. We looked at verses 21 through 24. Verse 23 says, "O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." God abundantly rewards, pay back in full to those who are the afflictors of the saints. Then we looked at Psalm 37, verses 27 and 28. Verse 28 says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints." God doesn't forsake his own. He preserves the faithful, those who are faithful to him. He does not forsake us. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Either we believe him or we don't. They are preserved forever. Our preservation is eternal. No matter what happens in this life, we are all winners. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off, shall be exterminated. Let's go to Psalm 97:10. We're just looking at passages that reveal the contrast that God loves his own. He has his favor towards his own, and he has the exact opposite towards the wicked. Psalm 97:10, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." Yeah, well, that's what's supposed to happen, and that's what will happen. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. The Lord wants us to hate evil because it's reflective of his nature and character. It is the evidence of those who are really his saints. He preserves us, protects us, and delivers us out of the hands of the wicked. Psalm 146, verses 8 through 9. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. He loves the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. Proverbs 2, 8. And we could do this exercise, well, let's just say forever, because it's a continual theme, especially in the Psalms. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. So God defends the way that is right. And those who are walking in the right way, he is our shield and protection. That's what preserveth means. And he does that to keep us in the right ways of which we should go without stumbling or declining from the right way. Here's the path. You walk in it. Now, God will always give us a clear path. So if there's any stumbling or tripping or diversion, it has nothing to do with the path. The path is clear because God gave it. Psalm 121. I don't know why anybody who is a saint would be discouraged to the degree that they don't think that God is on their side. I think that's sad. It's a sad commentary that you actually find numbers of professing believers that do not believe what the Bible says about God, which is their initial problem. They don't believe what God says. Psalm 121, verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I think the text is rather clear about the Lord's intent and what the Lord actually does towards his own and what he does towards the wicked. Obviously, there's great favor to those who are his own. Proverbs 3. I mean, there should be great confidence in the Lord. He knows how to protect us. We just need to follow him, that's all. And follow his wisdom. No matter what comes our way, because something's going to come. It's going to come. Whether you're looking for it or not, it's designed by God, not the devil. It's designed by God to test our faith. We ought to want to know where our faith is. Verse 21, Proverbs 3. My son, let not them, wisdom and understanding, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Keep it, guard it. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Wisdom and discretion gives you complete confidence in God, that he will not allow you, if you walk in the path that he has determined, there's no tripping. God wants you and me confident in the way that he has determined our lives to go. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. All these folks fearful and fretting and insanity about everything. And God says, those that have their lives surrounded by and led by sound wisdom and discretion, they go to sleep. Be not afraid of sudden fear. That's the stuff that catches you off guard. You don't expect it, and you get afraid. Well, this is, don't be afraid of sudden afraid. Don't. Neither of the desolation of the wicked, when, not if, when it cometh, because it's coming. We're always going to be tested. Desolation is a strong word. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. If you're walking in the path and the way that the Lord has already given, then when sudden fear comes, desolation comes, you're not going to be moved. You're going to keep walking in that path. Wisdom teaches us to be very close to God. That's the blessing of wisdom. Wisdom says, stay close to God. That God would keep you in his infinite care, so stay close to him. Back to Psalm 145. Stay close to God. Stop trying to do things on your own. It doesn't work. He has the path. The path is lit. The path is clear. The path is right there. The word is a lamp. The word is a light. The way the path is lit through this word. Okay, through submission to it and having our lives be applied towards it. The way is lit. And so there's a great confidence that should be built up throughout the months and years of applying ourselves unto wisdom. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but the wicked he will destroy. Those who are hostile to God and to his saints. Listen, I have been accused of a lot of things, and frankly, I don't care, because a lot of the things that people accuse me of are frankly just quite stupid and criticized primarily because of my stance towards the judgment of God against the wicked. How do you read a Bible and not know that? I don't understand. Apart from just rank unbelief, how do you read a Bible and not get the understanding that God has his guns aimed directly at the wicked? Then people were saying he was arrogant, pastor's arrogant. He wants people to be destroyed. I'm just saying what God says. Do you not want God's will? God reveals his power when the wicked are taken down. Yes. I don't have a problem with God doing that. I don't have a problem at all. People have a problem with it because the issue isn't Harley. The issue, again, is God. And that's just a small symptom of a larger problem that people do not believe this Bible. People, listen, and most folk need to confess this, but they're not going to do it because they're liars. But most folk have never had an in-depth study in their lives till they crossed the door jamb of this ministry, and they all know it. They never had any in-depth teaching of the Word of God. So frankly, they didn't know nothing about it until they came to the big black preacher and sat down and testified and testified about how much they love this ministry. They never understood their Bibles and never had anybody teach them the Word of God until they came this way, and they all know it. Worthless liars. They won't even tell the obvious truth. No one ever spent years teaching them the Bible. None of them. And they didn't bother to teach themselves. And they walked away from all this and acting like none of it ever happened. Suddenly all this wisdom they got on their own. Bunch of lying snakes. They don't know anything about their Bibles. They know nothing of the judgment of God. They don't know anything about it. And it's right here in the Word of God. God said he's going to annihilate and exterminate the wicked. He chooses to do sometimes in this life, but all will in the life to come. Straightforward language. And he says it over and over again. God does not like wicked folk messing with his children. I have experienced it. And if you haven't, well, that's your problem. I know God doesn't like folk messing with me. And it's a dangerous thing to do. And I warn people, but they don't seem to believe it. Well, that's fine. He'll make you believe it. And it's not because of me. It's because of him. God does not like folk messing with his children. He doesn't like that. A lot of things have happened to people that have crossed this door jam. And I warn them, best thing you can do, you better make sure that God called you here, because this is for keeps. I've told everybody, this is for real. You cross the door jamb of this ministry, and it's for real. You're not going to walk away here thinking this is some other, you know, bootleg church you've been attending. You're going to be held accountable. We all are. And amen, that's right. They're all gone because they didn't take to heart what was being said. In their mind, they thought this was going to be just another church. Well, it is a real one. God does not like people messing with his children. Period. He will defend his own. He keeps them, he watches over them, defends them, and makes them the object of his care. And I'm thankful that he does to me. Okay? I ain't speaking for nobody else because everybody seem to have their own little mind about everything. But I know he does to me, and I thank God for it. Because there are a lot of things I don't know what's happening. In fact, I don't know anything that's happening. So I know if something's going on, he's going to take care of me because I don't have the sense to take care of my doggone self. Verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is another continued theme all through the book of Psalms for David. And it reflected not some spastic, convulsive jerk of an unstable religion, but was reflective of all of his life. When he met the Lord, this man was never the same. From the dregs of suffering to the great highs of his glorious and majestic kingdom, David always praised God. His praise of God continually poured out of his mouth, even when God severely chastened him when he deserved it. At the end of the chastening, he gave God the glory for it. Praised God for it and said that he deserved it and then some, and didn't get what he deserved. All he could do and would do was to continually speak the praises of God, of his God. David knew the wonderful blessing of a relationship with God, perhaps as few men and women did and do. He knew. And I, you know, I look at David and there's no team here. David knew the Lord individually. He reflected that knowledge and that experience to others, encourages, we'll see in a moment, encourage others to have the same kind of relationship. But when it came to certain tests, he was alone. He had it. It was individual. See, and my point is, I think a lot of folks just copy. A lot of folks I've seen in 30 some odd years in churches and church work, all they do is copy other people. They don't have any walk with the Lord. They just copy from other folk. They see a strong saint and they get behind that saint, and you'll notice certain nuances of that copycat, certain expressions. I remember one guy, and I took him in a corner and just slapped him spiritually. You know, he was saying things that I was saying and then trying to take credit for it. I said, you know, it really isn't so much an issue that you're, you know, quoting me and taking credit for things that you never said. It's the fact that you don't have a life that you would follow and take my expressions and then tell them to people in front of my face and then act like you just came up with these thoughts on your own. I said, you're clearly demonstrating you don't have a life, and you need to be very concerned about that. Most folks just copy from other people. They do not have a life that is independent, and I don't mean independent from the body, but they don't have a life that is singular towards God. They just copy. Wherever the wind blows, that's where they're going. And they rally around and follow this one and yuck it up with this one, but they don't have any life, because look at what happens. The littlest thing happens and they're all out of whack, out of sync. They have no life. Most folks copy. They find the strongest, loudest voice in the church, the man or woman, and they follow right behind that person, right down the pit, because God had never told us to follow nobody like that anyway. But they don't follow the Lord. Because when the test comes, you'll find that same person who everyone's following all by himself, they don't have nothing to do with it. They copy only as it serves their purpose. And once that purpose is over, they either stop or they follow somebody else. It's all individual phoniness, collective phoniness. People do not have individual life with God. And that's what really ticks a lot of people off that have left this church. They've been challenged to end the charade, but they don't want to do it. They want to keep playing, and they don't like someone reminding them they're just a bunch of phonies. Well, it's what you are, it's what you are. Just following people. You warn them, don't do it. Ah, yeah, that's right. Shut up, stop talking. You're just, you know, saying the same old rhetoric. I'm going to ask you to respond by yipping, yapping. I want you to have change. You're right. Just shut up and change. It's like this routine, just copy. You look at the life and it's no different. No different. And there's nothing you can do about it because there's no life with the Lord for that person. They have plenty of religious life and their whole life is consumed with copying religion. And they try to modify that example and tweak it to make it look like, you know, hey, if they find someone they think is strong, let's follow that person. Let's follow this one. They start quoting this person and this doctrine. Where are the people saying what the Bible says without the added sweetness of Dr. Reverend Brother Pastor So-and-so? Why is that important? Well, Pastor So-and-so, stop. What does God say? Does that matter? And he look at you because they don't get it. That all that copying. But you watch when that test comes to the person they're copying. If that person's following the Lord, they'll be alone. And everybody else will be running for the border. Bunch of hypocrites. That's why I love David's life, because he had this wonderful relationship with God. And it was real in the dregs, and it was real in the glories of the kingdom. It was real when God was chasing him. It was real when God was blessing him. It was real when he was alone and all the so-called friends persecuted him, and even the servants despised him, and his family couldn't stand him. He stood alone with God, and it was okay. It was real. He knew the wonderful blessing of a relationship with God, perhaps, as I said, as few men and women did and do. But he was not selfish with his praise of God. He did not own the praise. He invited all flesh, all men and women, boys and girls, in his time and forever to glorify God, to continually bless the name of the Lord forever. He had a wonderful relationship with the Lord, but he didn't give the impression that no one else could. He encouraged people to have that relationship. But, you know, they don't want it. Most folks don't want it. They just want to either copy or just bail. And today it's bail day. People just want to bail out. They don't want a real relationship. Why is this so-called, you know, every time this bunch of lunkheads in Washington, in New York, in California, and all these other states having to deal with these idiot governments, open their mouths, everything's a crisis. And everyone believes, they just drink the Kool-Aid. Everything's a crisis, real and imagined. Who's been prepared spiritually for this stuff? How many sermons, if you had an ounce of integrity in your life, have warned you of these days coming? How many prepared you if you've been thinking you've been prepared for all this? Nobody listens. Nobody. Prepared for all of it. People are losing their minds. Losing it. Living like the world. Hoarding up like heathens. They don't care. They weren't listening. And they're going to listen now because God is not going to bless them. David wanted to see all the world give God the proper praise he alone deserves because of who he is, and for his marvelous works to the children of men. God does marvelous works to everybody, even to those who hate him. He makes his rain to fall upon the just and the unjust, provides them both crops in due season. He makes the sun to shine on both again for the same purpose, providing everything that all men need, all mankind. And not everybody gives him the praise he deserves. And what of the lazy, lying, so-called churches? Many of them don't give him proper praise. Oh, they'll praise him because some fool up there will tell them. But they don't have any real praise of God on their own because everyone's copying. No one has a life. Spurgeon said, "Praise quoting is no monopoly for one, even though he be a David. Others are debtors. Let them also be songsters." Everybody owes a debt to God. Continuing, "All men of every race, condition, or generation should unite to glorify God. No man need think that he will be rejected when he comes with his personal note of praise. All are permitted, invited, and exhorted to magnify the Lord, especially should his holiness be adorned. This is the crown and in a certain sense of the sum of all his attributes. Only holy hearts will praise the holy name or character of the Lord. Oh, that all flesh were sanctified. Then would the sanctity of God be the delight of all. Once let the song begin, and there will be no end to it. It shall go on forever as a day, as the old folks used to say. If there were 2 forevers or 20 forevers, they ought all to be spent in the praises of the ever-living, ever-blessing, ever-blessed Jehovah. Blessed be the Lord forever for having revealed to us his name, and blessed be that name as he has revealed it. Yea, blessed be he above all that we can know or think or say. Our hearts revel in the delight of praising him. Our mouths, our mind, our lips, our life shall be our Lord's throughout this mortal existence, and when time shall be no more." End of quote. Turn to Psalm 30. Warning people forever about copying. Warning people forever. In this church, family of faith, all throughout the web, the radio, television, warning people about being phony, about not having a genuine walk with the Lord. And I'm the only one doing it. Everyone else is playing. They got the little niche, and they think they're doing something so fantastic. It's ridiculous. They're not calling people to God and to the Bible. The whole thing. It's ridiculous. You listen, take a whole day if you can stand it, and just listen to so-called Christian radio, any station or television. Where is the exposition? Apart from a dead man in heaven, no one's doing it. It's ridiculous. I'm not talking about expositing a book or an epistle. How about the whole thing? Only one man was doing it. He's in heaven. That's a long time ago. And I think the churches should go way beyond J. Vernon. I'm not disrespecting J. Vernon. He was my friend and in a sense, my mentor, in a sense. I'm saying that we can do better. You know, he skated a lot of passages. We need to go a whole lot further. It's going to take more than 5 years to teach this Bible. At least someone took time to do what he did with 5 years. I spent, 13, 14 in Psalms, still in the thing. Where are the people who are going to sit around and, you know what, I need to grow. And, you know, only way I'm leaving this fellowship is if the Lord has a ministry, a real one, to go to that is blessed by him, and that we can all lay hands on this particular brother or sister and go, you know, God is leading me to a ministry, a real one, and then we go out and we do that work. I'm staying here and growing because this is where God wants me to grow. Please. Bunch of phonies today in the church. Verse 10. "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." God was the one that gave him the mourning and the sackcloth. And he said, "You turned it around to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." It didn't matter what happened to David, whether in the dregs, whether in the glories of the kingdom, both extremes, everything in between. He's going to praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. And I don't care if people misunderstand it. I don't care anymore. I am thankful to God for every single moment of my life. I thank God for his mercy. I cannot even begin to explain to you the mercies that God has showed me. I thank God for every one of his graces. I thank God for everything. I thank God for every encounter in church life, every circumstance, every heartache. I thank God for it because it has helped me to see the light about people in the church. It has helped me to be more real about myself. It has helped me to be more real about what this is all about. The hypocrisy that the church just loves. It's shame. The phoniness that goes on. The things that I've been teaching for decades. People have sitting down and living a lie. They had no intention of doing it. None at all. And haven't been doing it. And one minute, oh, Pastor, you're so great. And within 30 seconds, I'm a dog. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Didn't even give it a day. And sometimes it was that way in your face when they got home. Oh, you just see he this, he that. That's fine. I thank God for it all. Because at the end of it all, I'm going to give God thanks anyway. He just shows me from his word exactly all about people, how phony they are, how phony the church is. Absolutely vain and worthless people are when they lie and live a lie. They have no intention of following anything you tell them. And then leave and then lie about you. Lie and act like that's okay. They know full well they're lying, whoever they are. I'm gonna give thanks to God anyway. Go ahead and lie. Because we all know the truth, and certainly God does. As a result of David's answered prayers, he sang praises to the Lord. He vowed to acknowledge and thank the Lord his God forever. Every deliverance a believer experiences should likewise prompt a full expression of praise to God. David said that I will praise you, Lord, forever. Praise is as normal as breathing. Just as breathing is a normal expression of life itself. Breathing dictates that you're alive. So does praise. Because God is worthy of it. Because of who he is. Because he bestows his grace upon us continually. He's worthy to be praised because his will is being accomplished throughout the world. God's will is being accomplished. People have no hope or despair. The bottom line is God's will is being done, so he is to be praised. He will never allow us to get away with sin without dealing with us in his holiness. That's because he loves us. Psalm 71. Just going through verses again, you know. We've studied these. Most of them, you weren't here. It's all new to you. Verse 8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with that honor all the day. You see these expressions, all the day, forever. What do you think he means by that? You think he's talking about the Lakers? People get all, they get all hot and sweaty and blood pressure go up. You know, they have hot flashes talking about the Lakers. Who cares? They stink. Ooh, you sure you want to say that? They stink. They can't beat these second-rate teams. The Lakers should be mowing these people down. They stink. They may not win. They may not get to the final. People are all, they ask me about it. I said, I don't care. Some more things to be concerned about than, you know, Kobe and Pau Gasol. And I said, Pau Gasol's their best player anyway. I got ridiculed about that last week. Said Pau Gasol was the best player in the Lakers. I said, What does he know? He's just a big, dumb preacher. I know a lot of things. You so arrogant? Yeah, that's what you think. That's fine. I can't help that. I'm the sweetest, nicest, lovablest person I know. Oh, that's so arrogant. Yeah, well. If I don't know myself, you know. Shame on me. Cast me not off in the time of old age. You know why? Because folk gonna do it. David knew it. You get old and gray-headed, you're going to be by yourself. You serve your purpose, Goodbye. That's what they do. David knew it. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. He gets old and gets weak physically. Oh, they're going to leave you alone. They're going to act like you did nothing for him. That's what they did to David. He's saying, please, Lord, don't forsake me. Don't cast me out as nothing. Don't put me out the just out of your will, out of your love, like people do. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God have forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. He's old now. God don't forsook him. He lived in the glories of the kingdom and the power and the majesty of his kingdom, but he's old. He doesn't have the strength he used to have. He's not the valiant fighter, the great marksman, you know, like he used to be. He's not the great archer. He's not the great king. Now's the time to get him. He's old and slow. Oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded. There's their flipping. And consume them and our adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. The praise never stops. Never stops. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. He said, I don't know how many times you delivered me. They're innumerable. David's not saying, well, you know, you did it once this year, 5 years ago you did it. He's saying there's so many times you vindicated me and you delivered me, Lord, I don't even know. I can't even count them. They're too many. Psalm 40. He's saying there's so many. He's saying there's so many, I have to keep praising you because I don't know how many times you delivered me, but they're more than I can count, so each one of them is worthy of praise, so I guess I'm going to praise you forever. You don't need no praise programs. Oh, you speak it such blasphemy, you black fool. We don't need no more bands, music, quote, worship leaders, ministries of music, all that nonsense. Need to have conversions. That's what we need. And we don't have those. We just create whole so-called churches full of trained seals. You put the right fish there, they'll come up and clap. You think a seal by nature knows a clap? He can't even talk. How are you going to convey to a seal the whole issue of clapping? You have him sliding up there, clap, flapping his little arms. You throw him a fish. Wait about 2 weeks. Don't train him anymore. Don't do what you do. Give him about 2 weeks. He'll slap you. He'll be chasing you. Put that fish up there. He'll be chasing you. Knock you down and get that fish. We got the whole church like a bunch of trained seals, and yet the littlest of nothing comes their way they can't even endure. But they got all this praise, everybody's songs and music and whatnot. You mean all that wasn't enough? We were told that was enough. If you get these albums and whatnot, you get this series on this, that, and the other, oh, you be in. How many times you hear from these TV hucksters, just buy this 8-tape series about how to endure trials. And then 2 months later, trials how to endure them. And then 2 months later, endure the trials and how to endure them. They just switch the words around the cover. You know, one is a moonbeam, other is a cross, the other is a funeral. It's all the same rhetoric. You're supposed to have, if you get this set, you got it. Well, why do we have to keep getting it? Don't we have it by now? And where are the men saying, you know what? This is all a bunch of nonsense. This is all a bunch of nonsense. People ask me, what are you going to do after you put up Luke? Stop. I'm going to stop. You know, I've done my fair share. It'd be about 700 messages. I think our webpage would be sufficient at this point. I want to move on to something else a little bit more pressing. Things that have been, I guess, neglected, for lack of a better term. Oh, what are we going to do? I don't care. What do you think those messages have been telling you? Go to God. What do you mean, what are you going to do? I don't know what you're going to do, and I'm not worried about it. You know? People complain. One man had to order. He complained, you know, you used to give your materials away for free, your commentaries for free, and now we have to buy them. You don't have to buy nothing. You mean you can't pay $5.95, you type what? For my life's work, forget you. I've had myself free for 5, 6, 7 years. It's about time that the big black preacher gets his due for his labors. Perfectly biblical. Perfectly in the word. Is my hand around your throat? I ain't making you do nothing. Where is it at? It's right there, lulu.com. $5.95, $4.95, $3.95. You buy some in sets, you get them for discount. Perfectly biblical. Why don't you support the big black preacher instead of talking all that garbage about depart in peace, be warm to fill? Bunch of cheapskates of the church. They're hypocrites and they're liars and they're cheapskates. They just cheat. Man, they won't back down from that flesh for a second. I get the same mail everywhere. Oh, you can get that 1080p now for $300. You know them folk went down there at Walmart, got that stuff. But they complain about $5.95 lousy cents. How many more messages you gonna put up? When Luke's done, I'm done. That's enough. You get more in that series than your entire wasted life in that so-called church you've been playing in. You're going to get more truth in one book of the Bible because it's going to take you forever to study it. In one book of the Bible than you have in that play church, that snake pit of stupidity and spiritual ignorance you go to and been going to for years. I'm not cutting you any slack because it's the truth. You know, and they write me. People write, well, you know, we ain't getting nothing. What you there for? Don't get no answer from that simple question. They just want to inform me that, you know, they're going to a snake pit and the pastor of the church, he said this and it's contradictory to the Bible. And what? What do you want me to do about it? You there, aren't you? I'm in California. I have no intention of getting involved between you and some other pastor. That's your pastor. You handle it. What are you telling me for? I can't do nothing about it. Don't plan to. Well, pray for me pray for you for what? You're either going to continue the support error or you're going to get your, you know, lazy behind out there and find a church. Oh, I'm sorry. You haven't found one. You thought you were in one that taught the word. Oh, man. Well, honey, I know how long it took for us to look for this. I'm not sure we're going to be able to look any further. You know how difficult it was for us to look for a church where we were at. You know, we found this one, and yeah, honey, what would the kids think? We take them out of VBS and all that stuff and Awana. Oh man, I mean, what are we gonna do? What the kids gonna think? Oh, and you got the cooking class and the sewing class and the Ruth band and the rubber band man and you got all this stuff. You got the brotherhood and in the hood and everything else. And you know what's gonna happen? Because that fool is teaching false doctrine. Well, where are we going to go? I don't know what to do, honey. God help you married to a lazy, lame man like that. want to write me about this nonsense. People, don't listen. I've been teaching folks for decades what to do about that stuff. In fact, if they had been listening, they would have never stepped foot in those places because they would have known in 5 minutes, this ain't the place. They got all the trappings, all the circus stuff, but they don't have no exposition. Nobody listens because you got to sit there and be bored, sleeping, you know, because you don't got no spiritual, nothing spiritual in your life. What? He's teaching. Remember the famous? No. I was teaching the Sunday at, we in La Mirada. And I saw a man was doing a nod. He's nodding out, grinning and nodding. Guess he figured I didn't see him. I see everybody nodding. And I asked a question. He said, no. He just leaped up. And said, I said, man, okay. Forget I'm sorry he even asked the question. He scared me. No. I never forgot that. He gone too. Verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us, where they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Who in the world could tell the Lord all the things that God has done for them? How many? It's ridiculous. And each one of those works deserves praise. The ones we think we know, the ones we do know, and the ones we forgot. So therefore, God is to be praised forever. It's wonderful. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. I don't have any other righteousness apart from you. The only righteousness I'm going to be talking about is yours. That's back at Psalm 71, I believe. I got it. I got it together. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. From my youth? God has taught me from as a youngster? Yeah, it can happen. And hitherto I've declared thy wondrous works. Now, also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Because he knows people going to do it. Until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. He says, I want to be alive for one purpose, to keep telling people about you. That's it. This generation and next one to come. How many people are doing that? Even want to have any inkling of wanting to do it? That's rare, rare, rare. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hath done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again. See, God did it. God put David through so many tests, sore, painful trials and troubles. And he said, but you raise me up and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. That's near the grave. And God put him there. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My goodness, I mean, you just keep reading that. Verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. There you go. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. God took the intent of the wicked and brought it back to them and made them shame. He shamed them. The singing and the praise from David came from the depths of his soul, not surface worship. As I said a long time ago, he sang of true experiences and life with God. He has seen God's hand, experienced God's hand, and his praise and singing was not manufactured but genuine. Most people in church today sing because the hymnal is in front of their face. Or I guess now because the PowerPoint's up there on the ceiling, on the wall, on the floor, a little bouncing. But I remember you know, it's the old cartoons we had. Okay, sing along with us. And if you like to swing on the star, you know, back way back in the 60s of old cartoons, hey, sing along with us, you know. La 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 la. I remember those songs because we used to sing them as kids in front of television. Follow that bouncing ball. Daisy, daisy. That's what they're doing today at the churches. Follow the bouncing Bible as you know, the PowerPoint's going on. This is madness. Follow the bouncing pastor's head as you go through each one of these stanzas. You know. We don't have any experience. We can't relate to anything. Yeah, we'll sing it, but it'll be dry and meaningless. Praise God for who. And you see people. Blah, 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 blah. Meow, meow. They don't even matter. It's coming out, but there's no life. Praise him, all creatures, hear me, moo. Father, son, they about ready to slam a hymnbook and throw it down because they running out there to see what is the score. They don't care about no singing for the Lord. When David sang and when he sang, or rather when David sang and when he praised God, it was real. Didn't have to I hate this manufactured stuff. It's like, it's so fake. It reminds me of this stuff here. You know, it's supposed to look like wood grain. They say there ain't no wood or grain in here. This is all a facade. When you peel back this, what they call this stuff? Well, that's what's on the inside. It's fake.
Yes.
It's press board on the inside. This velour, this veneer that they put on the outside, you know, make it look like it ain't. That's how there's a lot of churches, a lot of church folk. They like that. They look good. But see, you know, real wood is real wood. And a veneer is a veneer. And anybody would not really trying could tell the difference. Just go up to it. Like, that's fake. No, I'm real. Yes, I am. I can sing praise. Mm-hmm. Looks like a lot of press board to me. You're judging me. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. He closed the psalm the same way he began it, in praise of God and forever blessing the name of the Lord. I'm going to stop at that point, and which is the end of Psalm 145. Many, many, many lessons in that wonderful psalm. And next time we get into the 146 psalm, just a blessing. It just really to just go through these truths. And other people are bored out of their socks because they don't want to have anyone to teach them for 5 minutes. They're so consumed with this worthless life. Even the Lord said that the danger of the disciples during the time of the tribulation was that he says, don't you get all hung up with surfeiting and concerns about this life. You can't get hung up in this life. There's more to this life than this life. And just too many saints, they get caught up in this world and, you know, God gets put aside. If you could imagine the absolute absurdity of such a thing. But in the practical aspect of their lives, they don't care about the Lord. They don't care what they say. They don't care about the Lord. The Lord is not first. He's not even second. He's so far down the list, he ain't on it. Practically. Bless somebody, oh God. I even hear heathens. They talk about God. They don't even talk about the Lord. And you let they be coming to me. Well, can you pray for me? Well, when did you suddenly get religion? Well, something happened. Yeah. Now you want prayer? I'll pray, but I won't pray the way you want me to pray. Never do that. There'll always be something. Lord, save this person. Use this circumstance. If that's your plan, whatever. If they won't get saved, judge them. My preference is the same, but your will is always right. Oh, that's such a terrible prayer. Well, don't have me pray for you then. You know, because I mean, I'm never going to pray the way you want. Unless you're a saint and you have some specifics. I get letters and calls from pastors, pray for us. Yeah, I'll pray for you. But somebody, some unsaved person, pray for me. I'll pray for you. Sure will. And it's funny because most of the time they don't even tell you what to pray for. They just say, I'm just having a bad time. Well, what is the time? What? You have to kind of dig it out of. Well, what is it? You know, it's some disease. Okay, well, what do you want me to pray for? Well, you can't ask me to heal you, you know, pray for healing, because it may not happen. You're not God's child. Oh, pastor, my pastor told me that what you just said, you know, just turn this off, because you're definitely not listening. I'm not going to pray that God heals a heathen unless it is a part of his divine plan. I'm going to pray for that person's salvation, which I know is a part of God's divine plan. The healing is not more important than salvation, ever. Okay, so I'm praying for salvation, not healing. If God chooses to let that healing be part of that plan, fine. But I'm praying for what I know the Bible talks about, and that's salvation. Lord, thank you again for your word and your great, great truth, Lord. Just thank you so much for the blessing of this wonderful word that you give us, Lord. Thank you that we can praise you and ought to all the day, because every act of your precious deliverance, every moment of your mercies and grace deserves praise. And we don't even know the number. We never have and never will. And Lord, salvation in and of itself is one reason all by itself for continued eternal praise, which is what we're going to do in heaven anyway. And we should be doing it down here. Thank you, Lord, that you are all things to us, Lord. You indeed are rock and shield and buckler and strength, our high tower, our high hill, our craggy rock, our rock, everything. Lord, you indeed are the one who loves us better than we love ourselves, more faithful than all humans on this planet that have ever lived, live now, will ever live. Lord, you are to be the one we are to depend upon. And thank you. Thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.